Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile has finally come down to form one new humanity, one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, one thing is for sure. Everyone, unless the Messiah returns quickly, everyone is most likely going to exit their earth suit and go to heaven or hell when they die. And if we can get some insight into heaven from a biblical perspective and an experiential perspective that lines up with the Bible, there's a lot of things that'll make more sense on this earth. And my guest, Dean Braxton, on May 4th, 2006, went into the hospital, and he actually had prolonged cardiac arrest for an hour and 45 minutes. He had what the medical term is prolonged cardiac arrest. And what is the first thing, Dean Braxton, that you remember happened to you while this 7 days of you literally being out and not knowing what was going on, while your wife was interceding and friends for you to live? What's your first memory?
Oh, the first memory I had, is telling somebody right after they took the breathing tube out of my mouth that I had seen Jesus 3 times, and he told me to go back each one of those times. As I was telling them, you know, that was, the conversation with this person was so real to me still, in the sense that I just felt the power of God just all over me still. And I remember being at the feet of Jesus and just being in his presence. So those were the first things that were going through my mind. And no one could tell me, no one could convince me, no one could say that Jesus was not real. I had believed he was real before. I had that conviction, but there was something else that just happened to me. Like, I know Jesus is real. There's no way you can tell me anything different.
Now, could you remember anything beyond what you just said to me at that moment?
Oh yes, I can remember in the sense of looking at Jesus, and a lot of times when I first came back, I'll be honest with you, I was telling people I want to be where the Father and Jesus is. And people said, well, you went to heaven. And I said, if that's heaven, that's great. But I was where the Father and Jesus is. I wasn't so much looking at so much that it was heaven. I was where Jesus, my Lord, was. And so I wanted to be in his presence. And I would tell people, if heaven doesn't have Jesus or the Father, you don't want to be there. You want to be where Jesus and the Father is. Matter of fact, I came to understand that inside of us, we are longing to really be with Jesus and the Father. Sometimes we say we want to go to heaven. We're really wanting to be in the presence of Jesus and the Father. That's what we want. And so I came to really understand.
So your home, your real home, if I'm going to put it in my words, is not this earth. It's in the presence of God.
It is in the presence of God. That's a great way of putting it. My real home is in the presence of God. Now, I can tell you right now, because of experiencing that, when I go on praying, I always tell people now I'm going home because I'm in the presence of God.
But wait a second now. You pray. You were born again. You were spirit-filled. You prayed for the sick. You saw them recover. You had words of knowledge. You knew about the presence of God. What's the difference now?
I started looking at it from a heavenly point of view instead of from an earthly point of view. A lot of times we are describing things or we're experiencing things from an earthly point of view, and yet each and every one of us have the Holy Spirit inside of us to be able to really experience God from a heavenly point of view.
Do some people have more of the Holy Spirit than others?
for me, I came to understand that we have the fullness of God in us, in his fullness. We don't have a part of him or some of him. We have a fullness of him. Probably before this happened, I would have said that some people have more, or some people have, you got to do this to get that, to get more of God.
You have to pray more in tongues. You have to read the Bible more. Is that, those sort of things?
Yeah, those sort of things. But when I was before Jesus, and he looked at me, saw himself inside of me, as I tell people, I was in. There was nothing else I had to do. His fullness was in me. And now I understand how much of him is in me. So when I am ministering and I'm going out there to talk to others, even talking to you right now, I know that Jesus is in me working. I know it.
Okay. Well, tell me some of your experiences.
Well, in the sense of being in heaven?
Yes.
Okay. Some of the experience of being in heaven was really experiencing the love of Jesus to the fullness. You know, I tell people I looked at his feet loved me. And what I mean by that, if all I saw of Jesus was his feet, nothing else but his feet, and they looked just like John talks about them, being that goldish brass, and just talking about the glory that's coming off of it. But what got me is his feet loved me, and if I didn't see another part of Jesus but just his feet, I experienced the fullness of his love for me through his feet. Now, there's a word that I'm using, and it's called experience, and I like using that because it wasn't so much a feeling. It was an experience. I experienced everything there.
So when the Bible says God is love, you comprehended what it meant.
Yes, I comprehended what it meant to its fullness. I looked at his hands, and they do have the nail prints, I tell people. But if I just saw his hands loved me. Every part of his being, when I looked at him, he loved me. Not only did he love me, but it was like I was the only one he loved. Knowing he loved all of God's creation, but coming to the understanding of how much he loves me, so much that it's not taking from anybody else, that the love he has for me is directed at me and his fullness, and it's not taking it from anyone else.
What about his eyes?
When I looked into his eyes, they're just like John describes them, that flamely fire. But again, I got lost in his eyes. Even talking to you, I have to hold back because I can stop and just look into his eyes even now and get lost in them because the love...
You're provoking me to jealousy. How can I do that?
Well,
And by the way, the job of the Gentile believer in Jesus is to provoke the Jew to jealousy, so you're just living up to your job description, but go ahead.
Well, I really believe that we all have the Holy Spirit, and he shows us how to do that. And I believe there's times when you are praying that literally you are experiencing what I experienced. And it may not be in the length that I experienced it, but it's still you're experiencing it. When I looked into his eyes and I saw that love that he has for me, just for me, it was like no one else in this entire universe existed in the sense of that moment he was looking at me. And I knew he loved others, but I knew that the love he was showing for me was the love that he had for me. It was like it was created just for me.
And yet, as you just said, he has that same quantity of love for everyone listening to us.
Correct. Everyone that's, that's what's changed probably my prayer life more than anything else about praying for people. I go places and I take a list of names, and people probably don't know this, and I'll share it with you. I've got over 16,000 names that I have on a piece of paper that I spend time in praying. I don't pray for everyone every day. I split them up into certain areas, and I pray for them as the week goes through. But I really believe that when I'm praying for these people, because of the love that I experienced from God and seeing the love of the Father and seeing the love of Jesus toward me, and when I communicated with Jesus, and communication there was just thoughts going back and forth. I always tell people it's like a computer downloaded. He downloaded into me. I communicated back to him. And I remember looking into his eyes, and after I thought about myself, I would think about someone else, and I literally would see the love for them. I would think about someone else, and I would see the love for them. And it was like he only loved them. That changed my prayer life, so when I pray for people, I know how much the Lord loves them. loves them more than I can even imagine, or they can think. It goes on and on and on.
And you said that you were kind of surprised at who made heaven and who missed heaven of people you knew that had died.
Well, and that was a surprise to me because there were certain people that I thought would make it that didn't make it, and there's certain people that I didn't think would make it that made it. And what I mean by that is God knows the heart. He takes it out of our hands.
So the heart is more important than the facade.
That's
what we see on the outside.
Correct. I say that to you because I tell people about Aunt Barbara. And Aunt Barbara was a lady in my life, my dad's sister, and loved her dearly. And I would have probably told people over and over that Aunt Barbara did not make it into heaven. But she was there when I got there. She was there.
Who was the first person that greeted you?
The first person that besides Jesus, I went to the feet of Jesus, was my grandmother Mary. And I tell people a lot of times that the reason I believe my grandmother Mary greeted me because she was the only one when I was growing up that I knew that loved Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And she spent a lot of times praying for me and my brothers and my mother and my dad. And I really believe I came into the kingdom because of her prayers. Well, right after I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, my grandmother died. So I never really got to communicate with her or talk to her about the faith that I had or the belief I had. So when I got there, Grandmother Mary, she was shiny, she had pure joy, and she had a big smile on her face. And she was there to greet me.
And she really wanted you to do something when you got back to Earth. We'll pick up there on tomorrow's broadcast. But Mishpocha, his book, In Heaven, Experiencing the Throne of God. This book is probably the best description and the best understanding of heaven. And then he has scriptures backing up every one of his experiences. And what happens when you pray? Your whole prayer life is going to be totally revolutionized when you understand that. Keys he learned in heaven for healing, how angels help, eight signs for the end of the age he was told about, all the questions people have asked him after going to heaven, he's written in this book. Every question you could possibly think of, we're making the book and the radio interview, which also includes many things he learned in heaven that are not in the book because we've extended the radio interview. We're making the CD and the book called In Heaven available for a donation of $22. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.